Welcome to the Young Uns Podcast, live from Suffolk's Folk East Festival 2018. And if you're thinking, well, it doesn't sound like it's very lively, David. I mean, shouldn't the audience be cheering right now? It's rather embarrassing. There's nobody turned up. The other two young'uns haven't even turned up. No, I'm recording this bit at a travel lodge in Cambridge. I mean, I'm not trying to brag. You know what I say, I'm doing well for myself. The young'uns are doing a school project at the moment in Cambridge. And I'm just recording this little bit before I press play on the podcast, which I will do in the next 2 minutes. And we'll be straight into the podcast. We return for the third year doing the Young'uns podcast live from the Folk East Festival. And as usual, there was a packed marquee ready to welcome BBC award-winning folk musician Luke Daniels, whose music has featured on The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Oh yes, that's what I'm talking about. Oh! Sorry, was that a lame joke? Yeah, David, just Hobbit. Ah! My goodness, this isn't even the proper podcast bit. You know, this isn't even the live podcast bit already. I mean, I'm raising the bar. A lot of people think, my goodness, David, I mean, the podcast, I'm sure the podcast from Folk East will be good. But maybe ease us in gently with a few tamer jokes. Because, you know, otherwise our expectations are going to be unbelievably high. I mean, we can see why you've won those comedy competitions now. We can see why you're hanging out in Cambridge travel lodges. You're doing well for yourself. You've earned it. He's also played in the Riverdance Orchestra and with Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull. And he's currently in a duo with Nancy Kerr. Luke Daniels also plays the Victorian instrument, the polyphone. He'll be talking a little bit about what the polyphone is, although it's a very complex instrument that I still haven't quite got my head around. But he'll also be playing the polyphone for us as well. It's like a kind of disc-generated music box that is hooked up to a computer. You'll hear it, it's like a music box. But in the background, now and again, you'll hear a bit of shuffling around and a few little clatters in the background, because that's him putting the various discs on and doing things with the computer. Also on the podcast is Cohen Braithwaite Kilcoyne, fantastic melodeon player and singer of traditional English folk song. You may know him for his solo work and or being in the BBC Young Folk Award nominated trio Granny's Attic. And we welcome back to the Young'uns podcast Philip Henry and Hannah Martin, who won the Best Duo Award at the BBC Folk Awards in 2014. They now go under the name Edgelarks. And Philip Henry and Hannah Martin were part of the Band of Love, the folk meets disco project that performed as part of BBC Radio 2's Hyde Park event alongside Kylie Minogue and the Manic Street Preachers and All Saints. And Philip Henry is an amazing harmonica player. He incorporates beatboxing into his harmonica playing. Anyway, I think it's a brilliant podcast. There's all sorts of fun and games. There's no point me telling you what's coming up because I'm about to do that right now on the actual podcast itself. So let's just press play on the third live Young'uns podcast from Suffolk's Folk East Festival. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Young'uns podcast live from Folk East. So we have all manner of things. Some of it planned, some of it will be spontaneous. Like this bit here, Sean.
Hello.
There you go. We haven't planned that bit. That was so back by popular demand, Sean Cooney and Michael Hughes, but we also have other guests as well and a whole manner of features. We have the return of Herbal Tea of the Week with a twist in the tail. But whose tail will we be twisting? Find out a little bit later on. So we'll be doing that. We have another game, we have another parlour game. We may have our youngest celebrity guest yet going on. We'll see how that goes. And I've also devised a quiz. A little quiz. So I just put the finishing touches to 10 seconds ago. So we'll see how that goes. So we should introduce our guests. So we have Philip Henry and Hannah Martin, a.k.a. Edgelark.
Let's welcome them to the stage. Here they come.
Phil and Hannah, you have been on our podcast before.
We have, yes.
Haven't you? And it was quite a bit of a shock for you, I think.
Yeah, we're feeling a bit nervous because last time you nearly killed Phil. Yeah.
It's when we used to do stunts on the podcast.
I've had a few years to recover now, but...
So he thinks he's ready. Does that mean that I have become more placid or do you feel that you are more mentally resilient?
I'm more resilient and also last time I had very bad jet lag. We were in Kansas City, weren't we?
We were indeed, yeah.
And we just arrived.
Excellent. We used to go abroad for the Young'uns podcast, now we have to come to Suffolk. How the mighty have fallen. Anyway, we also have... there we are.
Well, it could have been Norfolk, come on.
Good start.
Phil, I don't know what to do. You're the mentally resilient one.
But we also have Mr. Cohen, Braithwaite Kilcoyne.
Come on, Cohen. Yeah.
Cohen, you have never been on the podcast before, but we asked you if you knew what to expect, and you said you have listened to every single Newman's podcast.
Yes.
Now, was this...
Oh, he loved it.
Was this... They started doing that now in interrogations. They just forced people to listen to the Young'uns podcast, and they soon confess. Cohen was very resilient. He was resilient. He lasted the entire podcast. It was only when Michael Hughes did that half-an-hour monologue that he thought, that's enough. I've had enough. I'll tell all. So did you do it in preparation for this, knowing that this was going to happen, or have you done this before?
I used to be a very sad, lonely boy. I had no social life. Say that in the past tense, I still am. And so I used to sit on my own listening to the Young's podcast for company.
Because it felt like we were your friends.
Exactly.
Which we're not.
Exactly.
But, you know, it felt like we were, didn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, and we also have Mr. Luke Daniels.
Let's welcome Luke Daniels.
Yeah. Luke, my friend. I don't believe you are aware of the Young'uns podcast at all, really.
No, it's not something I've come across. I'm more of a Radio 4 man, to be honest. But...
Ah! You can tell that Luke's never heard of the podcast before, because when we invited him on it, and I invited him to play his polyphone for you all, which we'll be introducing you to soon, he sent me a PDF document, about 50 pages, all about the instrument. And you can tell you've never listened to the Young'uns podcast, because you'll know if you had that we do not do our research. And also, you're blind, so you wouldn't be able to see it, would you? Well, I could read PDF documents with a screen reader, but a cheap joke, but we'll let him have it. Phil.
Yes, my dear.
I'm particularly interested here in, and we've talked about this last time on the podcast, was the noises that you make with the harmonica. Notice how I don't call them notes. That's not an insult. No. The noises that you make with the instrument, because as well as, obviously, the usual melody, you have the beatboxing going
That's
on
right.
as well. So do you want to explain to the listeners how you... the people here as well, not just the listeners at home. There's 5,000 of them. There's only about 800 of you. How did you come by the whole beatboxing thing with the harmonica?
It was by accident at first. I was doing a gig in a nightclub in Exeter on New Year's Eve, and I was put on stage after a 16-piece soul band with just a harmonica and a piece of wood to stamp on. So I started needing to make extra noises then, and a few things started to slip out.
Okay. You were a bit desperate, weren't you? Is that the aforementioned wood that we're talking about?
Yep. I'll let you have that one.
He's mentally resilient. He can take it now.
But I did... I'm more resilient, yeah. But I did get some lessons from a very good beatboxer who's sadly no longer with us, a chap called Vid Warren. And he taught me how to do the bass drum and the snare sound that I use nowadays. So I, when I need to get a bass drum sound, I go like this. Which is just a kind of an explosive beat with a nice kind of low diaphragm thing involved. And then when I want a snare sound, I'm doing that on the in-breath through the side of my mouth, and it sounds like this. And you do...
Oh, I'd love to see you have a go at that, David. Well, we did, didn't we? We did this. Well, maybe we could do a competition between the people on the stage, and you could rate it. Yeah. Who does the best beatboxing? So,
should we start with Luke?
Is that right? So, obviously, bass and a snare we're going for there, Luke. You want to give this a try?
I don't want to give the snare and the bass drum, I think. Here we go.
Before can I hear what a snare sounds like? A beatboxer sounds like...
Oh, Phil, do you do that again?
I'm going to make this more of a lesson than a demonstration, if that's all right.
The snare sound, I'm getting on the in-breath, so I'm sucking air through the side of my mouth. That's it. Perfect.
The snakes in here.
That wasn't bad.
And all you've got to do, once you've got that sound, everybody, as well, you can try this. Is you've got to cut it as cleanly as you possibly can. And we don't want any squelchy, any kind of... you've got to remove the human element, make it sound as clean, almost like an electronic drum kit. So it's... And that's a kind of an inward K that I'm doing that with. Yes, very good.
Oh, okay. Oh, well done, Lou.
Very good.
Now, Cohen, how are you with your bass drum? Do you want to try that?
What, so you're saying you've got to breathe in and then breathe out?
I'm having an asthma attack over here. What's going on?
It was you making those phone calls.
Hey.
Well, I did say I was a big
fan. I knew he was a podcast fan, but there you go. I told you we're not friends, Cohen.
Go on, you try the bass.
Go on, give him the bass then, Cohen.
There we go.
Well, that's really good. Okay.
Could you do something with Luke now then, could you?
Yeah, you could do a thing together there, couldn't you?
One, two, three, four.
It's a bit of jazz. You've discovered a new collaboration. You'll have it now. This is going to be Four Geese next year. They're going to get Arts Council funding for this. Celtic Connections next year. Michael, do you want to give it a little go there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad.
It's
not
bad.
Oh, and a little slide,
How you
there,
doing?
Mr. Cooney.
Oh, dear.
Has anyone got a tissue?
Excellent. Yeah. All right, okay, we saved the best till last, everyone. Hang on, here we go. What's that? Inhale. I'll do it with it. I can do it with exhale.
No, you've got to stop talking first.
Oh, I've got the Donald Duck. I've got my own little trademarks here. It's a Donald.
One way to describe it.
Okay. The game we should start with, because it's going to be one of those running games that we'll be playing throughout. So we played Papa Pirates before. Of course, we played Jenga the year before that. This time, ladies and gentlemen, we have Kaplunk. We were going to play the folk version, Nancy Kerplunk, but she wasn't up for it. Once we got the straws in there, she did. Anyway. So, we're just opening the Kaplunk now, so I assume you all know how to play the game.
Oh, yeah, there's a note from Argos here. It says, thank you for shopping with us. Have you changed your mind? Never mind.
Have you changed your mind, everyone?
Our hassle-free returns guarantee. Well, that sounds good.
Oh, that's good. We can do it with return after this, because I'm not going to need it after this. Excellent. It turns out that the only person getting paid for this gig is Argos. There you go. Right. So basically what happens is, does it have a succinct description of the rules on the box, maybe, that you can read there, Mr. Cooney?
Let's have a look. As Michael and Hannah set up this wonderful... Oh, that looks a bit rude. Let's have a look.
It's just like Christmas.
Nail-biting fun. Well, you can feel that, the suspense in the audience already. Mm. That's gone spiralling mad. Pull out the sticks, but don't dislodge the marbles or they'll come whooshing down the chute. Number one, insert the sticks into the bowl before you put it onto the tower unit.
Okay, so we're going to do that. So basically, whoever, we're going to pass it round, and whoever has, and I think, how many people can play this game?
You know when half an hour ago I said, do you want me to have a look at how the game works before we get on stage?
Yeah, that's all right. Like, how many?
Stuff.
How
said,
many?
Oh, no, you just do it in front of the audience.
How many holes are there? How many pallets?
We've got 28 sticks.
Yeah, I mean the holes, though. How many holes?
56, no. Thank you.
No, I mean, how many the things that the marbles drop out? I don't know the technical terms. No, look, how many trays, pallets that the marbles drop into? Yeah, the bottom, yeah.
No, I don't think it works like that, is it?
Of course it does. You have to spin it round. How do you know who's got the amount of marbles that they've got?
Because you have a go each and you count them.
Do you?
I think so.
The one that I played, it's got... Let me have a look. Where is it? You've got... I'm not wrong.
You're thinking of Hungry Hippos.
No! It goes, the kaplunk, the marbles fall into individual pots. Yeah, so how many individual pots have we got?
Four.
Four.
Oh, sorry.
So it's a four-player game. So it's Phil and Hannah on one team, Cohen a separate, Luke separate, and then we have a young'uns team. Okay, so that's four teams. Wonderful.
Yeah, I bet they're having a great time, but whippy folk week, aren't they?
Excellent. So that's what we're going to do shortly. While we do that, Cohen, maybe you could give us a little something. A little song while we set the kaplunk up. Wonderful. So what have you got for us, Cohen?
No mic.
No mic? You can have this one if you want.
You want a mic? What?
There we are. So what have you got for us, Cohen? Oh, this is a better microphone, isn't it?
this is much better. Yeah, now we're talking. It was the microphone holding me back. It's not the first time I've been held back by a mic. Anyway. What you got for us, Cohen? Any songs about Kaplunk?
No.
No, oh, okay.
Yes, a traditional song from Yorkshire called 40 Miles, and there's a repeat at the end of every verse. Today when I spied a cottage along the way, which I never had seen before, So I stepped up to this cottage door and I heard a maid trip over the floor. She loudly cried, "Who's there?" She loudly cried, "Who's there?" Well, me dear, it rains, it hails, it blows, and I am wet through all me clothes. So I pray, love, let me in. I pray, love, let me in. Well, it's no kind, sir, that never could be, for there's no one in this house but me. I dare not let you in. I dare not let you in. So I turned me back and away I did go, but she did sweet compassion bestow. When she called me back again, she called me back again. Jolly content, and the very next day to church we went, where I made to me lawful bride. I made to me lawful bride. Now whenever the weather be ever so poor, we think of the night I found her door. When she called me back again, she called me back again. Okay, wonderful. And a lovely little fart sound at the end there. I like that. Like that bit. Wonderful, Cohen. How are we getting on with the Kaplunk setting up? Very well.
How's that going?
Very well.
Except when you say very well, how long do you think it'll take?
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Is it going to take a long time to set this up?
Done.
Is it done? Wonderful. Right. Okay. So we're going to start with... who's the closest? Do you want to start there, Luke? So you're going to pull a straw out and we'll see how many marbles cascade.
Okay.
Okay, so far no marbles have fallen. Remember, it is the person with the least amount of marbles who wins. So let's head now to Phil and Hannah. Who's going to be pulling for Phil and Hannah? Hannah's going to pull. Okay, here we go. And Hannah pulls the stick. Oh! Was that the sound of one marble? I would recommend, by the way, Michael, if you could put a microphone next to the kaplunk so we can hear the sound, because it would be a bit anticlimactic otherwise. For that one, obviously, I will insert a sound effect of a marble dropping, because I'm a professional. We'll do that in post-production. Okay, so now it's time. Representing Cohen is Cohen. So, Cohen, you want to pull a stick there? He survived. So far, Phil and Hannah are losing, and they've got one marble down, but there's still all to play for here as we venture into the final one of the round, and that is who's going to... Do you want to pull
that? It's going to be you, Davey, I think.
No, I can do it later. There's plenty of time. I'm not the closest, so let's have Michael pulling a stick. Michael's going to pull a stick.
Keeps his legs straight.
Oh, yes, good technique. Good technique. And yes. Nothing has fallen. So one marble down, we've got 29 marbles still to go in the game. And we're going to do that. Now, Herbal Tea of the Week did make an appearance the last 2 years, you may remember. The first Herbal Tea of the Week we did 2 years ago. It's a great name of a feature. We only do it once a year, but it's Herbal Tea of the Week nonetheless. 2 years ago, of course, it was a bit of an anticlimax. Sam Kelly was charged with finding us an exotic herbal tea. He came back with a green tea with lemon from a tea bag. Then the second week, as in the second year, we had an interesting thing. We had Pete Flood and John Spiers. Now, Pete Flood was charged with going out and collecting his own herbs because he is a botanist. And so he collected various herbs and put them into a tea. His accomplice was John Spiers, who helped him out. They essentially made a very interesting tea, although, unfortunately, it was essentially just lots of different types of onion in their tea. Now, I have cautioned the two of them. Now, Pete Flood was the main man behind this. So as a botanist who has sinned, he has been sent down to Botany Bay. Whereas Pete was... John Spiers was mainly his accomplice, so he's just been let off on a herbal warning. So we're not going to do Herbal Tea of the Week as the same way this week, this year. We're going to...
But is it still going to have its jingle, Dave?
But it's no, it's not going to have a jingle. It's, this time, it's going to be very different. We may come up with an...
Do you want to hear the
jingle?
No.
Yeah! That's brilliant! Oh, dear. Well, I will only do it if we can have some accompaniment, maybe, on the beatboxing, with a harmonica or something. Just the beatboxing, maybe, there, Phil. Just give me a beat, and I'll do the jingle over the top. Oh, I like the way you're going for. Obviously, it is a 6-8 thing I was looking for, but that's fine. I'll do 4-4. We can do it. We can do it. Here we go. Well, some folks like plain tea, others like tea herbally, but this is the feature that reviews herbal tea verbally. Well, we'll give it a smell, we'll give it a drink, and then we will tell you what we think. Herbal tea is the subject on which we will speak. Herbal tea of the week. Herbal tea of the week. Wonderful stuff. We haven't rehearsed that before. Okay, so this week's herbal tea has been inspired by a conversation I had last night. On Sunday at this very festival, there will be a sports day. There will be a sports event. All sport, different sports will be occurring. Now, I don't know if we've got anybody who's involved in that sports day here.
Is anybody involved in that sports
Chloe,
day?
Chloe, anyone?
Oh, down here, Davey. You've got
down,
three
here. Down here. So perhaps you could tell us the names of the various sports that you've got.
We've got welly wanging.
Welly wanging, right, which is where you have to throw the welly the highest, the furthest.
Dragon's ale.
Dragon's ale. I don't know what that is, dragon's tail, but... You've got to catch a dragon's tail. You've got to find a dragon first, but there you go. We are going to play, though... We're going to play one that's... it's kind of like welly wanging, but it's the teabag equivalent, isn't it?
Teabag golf.
It's called what, sorry?
Teabag golf.
Teabag golf. So we're going to tee off. Alah, see what you've done. It all works. Now, what we need is you have provided us with the teabags, but we have you provided us with a cup of water. Is there any way... Have you?
No.
Could you get us a cup of water? So we're going to get a cup of water. And what the rules are, I believe, is that... Well, actually, can you one of you get a cup of water? Could one of you come up and explain what the rules of teabag golf is?
Yeah, that's good.
Who's going to come up and who's going to be the water fetcher?
Chloe's already gone, so I'll...
Oh, you come up. There you go. And do you want to hand him a microphone there, Michael?
Of course.
And just explain to us what we have to do with teabag golf.
Okay, so with tea bag golf, you've got to take the tea bag, which should be somewhere here.
I've got the tea bags, yeah. Tea bag. Do you want me to get one as a demonstration?
But you can't use just a normal tea bag. You've got to have a tea bag that has a string on it. That's very important.
So it's not a no strings attached game, this one.
It's definitely not no strings attached. And then you need to take the end of the tea bag in your mouth.
Right.
And then you have to dip it in the water.
Yep.
And then you have to fling it. Or you might use a different technique, as far as you can.
I mean, which way are we going to fling it, do you think? Into the audience?
I kind of think into the audience.
Into the audience? We're going to fling wet tea bags into the audience.
Well,
All right, that's fine. I'll happily do that.
Oh, we've got tea. We've got the water.
Yeah, we're going to do water. Oh, that's fine then. It's only water.
But yeah, usually there wouldn't be necessarily an audience in the way, but I kind of think that makes it more
That'll be good. Yeah. You get extra points if you can hit like various members of the audience. A lot of people may be saying, in this day and age, I know, a lot of people say it's not very environmentally friendly, because obviously we're going to be using different tea bags. And we could use the same tea bag, but it would mean putting the string in people's mouths the same, and then it would mean, I know you'd like that coin, but he's heavy breathing again over there. There we are. He's turned his microphone down so you can't hear it. There you go. That wasn't the accordion making that fart noise, by the way. But anyway, we're going to use different tea bags for that reason. Now, a lot of people would say this is not environmentally friendly. Here's my argument. If you have a cup of tea, you're using one tea bag and only one person will enjoy that tea. This is going to bring enjoyment to hundreds of you out there and thousands of people online. So I think it's environmentally worth it. That's my justification, all right? So if David Attenborough is listening, that's my justification for that. Okay, have we got a cup of water?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to get a tea bag. I'm going to go first. I'm going to wet my whistle. I'm also going to take a drink of water just to get my throat. Hang on. Here we go. And do we have... Should we have some commentary here? Not on me unwrapping the tea bag, just on the actual act. So,
okay. Yes, okay.
So I've unwrapped the thing. I'm down there for now.
With great anticipation, he takes to his feet.
Okay, so I'm going to dip.
You need to dip. You need to dip with mouth.
With my mouth?
Yeah.
You're currently struggling the side of the city. The tea bag is dipped.
Can I get it out?
He's clenching the cardboard piece between his teeth. It's dribbling all over the monitors. And David approaches the edge of the stage. The crowd... And he's going, one, two, three.
That was terrible, I didn't even... How far would you say that went? Can we have a marking, an official...
1 meter.
So have we got any way of marking where that was?
We could just put the person it hit stands up.
Right.
The person, if it hit you,
who did it hit?
Stand up.
Oh, so sorry.
Who's it hit that?
Front row, you're just front row.
Okay, so I'm not sure I'm going to win that. So we've got another tea bag now. You got it in the bag. So is this, who's going to go? Is it, do you want to go now, Michael? So Michael's going to now go at, we could call, in some ways, if you can get this over people, it could be hurdle tea of the week, couldn't
it? Michael's gone for a bag of our organic pure green tea.
Ah, we should have said what the different makes of bags were, because maybe that will have some...
Michael's gone for the hands behind the back posture.
Okay, now I went for, Michael, interestingly... Oh, hang on. I went for a swivel of my head rather than a straight forward like that. Now, and I'm not sure that was a good idea.
Will the spectacles follow the tea?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Here we go, then.
One, two, big one. Here we go. Oh.
Oh, he's... Oh! My goodness!
I'm sorry to report, David, that the tea is still in his mouth.
What?
He went as far as his left ear and came back again.
Wow. My goodness. Okay. You can't. No. If it came back, that doesn't count. You can't. It's one attempt, Michael. Get yourself.
Didn't quite leave the stage.
Didn't even leave the stages anyway. Right, Sean, your turn.
Okay, I'm going.
So far out of the. It's I am the winner. Who'd have thought? Having travelled a metre.
Right, I'm going for.
Sean's trying to commentate with the string in his mouth.
I'm going for I need a middle class person to tell me how to pronounce this. An elderberry and Echinacea. Is that right?
Echinacea.
Oh, so thank you, David.
Echinacea. Okay.
Suddenly I feel better. Yeah.
Well, you understand, you need the line. You've got to stand on the line here. You've got to stand from the same place.
Beautiful socks.
Okay, here we go. Sean takes it in his mouth.
Oh, so he's taking his glasses off here, Davey. Hang on.
Sean's taking his glasses off. Is he doing it? Oh, no.
Here we go.
He dips it in the cup.
Oh, here we go.
What moves he going for? A head swivel?
He's doing like it's like Monica Sellers at the moment.
Oh, he's taunting the crowd. Oh.
Oh, he's a cutie.
Sean is in the lead.
It reached the sound desk at the back, Davey.
Sean is in the lead. Who's next? Phil Henry. Let's see if Phil Henry can beat Sean Cooney.
Will the dreadlocks hold him down?
So far, is it a victory for Sean or is it a victory for Echinacea? I'm not sure. Okay. Right. He dips his head into the cup.
For a low droop, legs wide apart.
Ooh.
All in the knees. Great stride.
Careful that your wood doesn't slip.
Oh! It was a good distance, but it went to the left. But it was fairly good. I'd say it was maybe on the par with mine.
What would you say, people? Sean or Phil? Sean, sorry, yeah. Sean's still in the lead. Okay, time for Hannah Martin now to sling her tea bag.
She's
I don't know how many of these bags we have.
She's gone for a mint tea.
What, one left?
No, after this.
Is that good then? Because we've got two people.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to both do it. One can get the bag in one end and one can get the string in the other end.
We'll have to improvise. We'll have to see if we can find another bag from somewhere.
She's holding her hair in her makeshift ponytail.
Hannah Martin.
She's got a touch of the giggles, which may put her off, but she's swaying. The teabag is dribbling. She's going for it. Oh, it's a false move. Straight, flat.
Okay. Not quite as good there. Not quite as good. But there again, you should technically be in the ladies' tournament. It's very unfair that we placed you in with the... it's not my rules. That... Every other sport, it's what happens. I'm just suggesting that maybe there's an unfair disadvantage. I don't know about maybe like the Adam's apple gives an extra level of impetus. I have absolutely no idea.
Keep digging that hole, Davey.
Absolutely no idea. I'm just putting it out there. I was trying to... Anyway, right. Cool. I mean, I should technically be in the blind team. I should be in the Paralympics. But I'm not. I'm just saying that we believe in equality. I'm not in the Paralympics, and Hannah is playing with the men here. So there you go. Okay, got out with that one. All right, then. We've got one more tea bag. We will source another one from somewhere, but first, it's time for... Is this Cohen getting up? Cohen?
Cohen.
Here we go, Cohen.
He pops a free mint bag into his mouth.
Now, we know that Cohen has got good breathing technique. We've heard that before with his heavy breathing. This may put him in good stead. Here we go.
Okay. Will his concertina playing posture be an aid or a hindrance? The tea has been dipped. Oh, yes. It's all in the buttocks.
Oh!
It's a good one! It's David! David, it's landed on someone's head! Stand up, sir!
Yay! Oh, wonderful!
Beautiful!
So, okay.
That makes you the winner, my friend.
So, Cohen so far is the winner. We're going to have another song. We're going to have a little song from... we're going to have something from Luke. Yes. But before we do that, we need... Chloe, is there any way of finding another tea bag? We need to find another tea bag so that we can do it later on and we can see if Luke Daniels can beat the tea record there.
But do we really?
We do, Luke, we do. So, Luke, you've got a rather interesting instrument.
Yes.
And you've also brought your polyform with you as well.
Which one would you like to see?
Well, your wood might slip out. Never mind Phil's. All right, okay. I think firstly you should maybe describe what this instrument is before you.
Okay, it's obviously much easier for everyone that's here that can see it. It's not an easy thing to describe. It's a Victorian automaton machine, like a music machine. It's made by a company called Deutsche Polyphon in 1880. And they actually rebranded in a kind of a, as I said earlier, kind of a Betamax versus VHS situation. Upon the invention of the gramophone, they became Deutsche Grammophon. And there's a record company, like a high-end classical label, that still exists today. So these machines go right back to the very beginning of what we would consider to be recorded music. Now, these are the discs that it plays. Now, this will give you some idea of how the Victorians rolled. This is a 19 5/8 size disc. So, they didn't just leave it at 20 inches.
Yeah.
So if you imagine like a pianola, which has its projections around a cylinder, this is obviously a circular disc. You have to visualize it as if it was a tree trunk with 120 circular tracts that when the disc rotates, these holes in the disc are actually little projections whereby it's kind of punched out. You know, if you run a spoon through butter, you get that bit curling up. That's what they've done with the metal. And these little hooks turn star wheels in the center of the bed plate. And then the opposing teeth on the back of the star wheel will ping one of 120 teeth, give me a range of 7 octaves. So it's a 7 octave music box. And it's mental.
So,
this project is definitely the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It's reduced me to tears 3 times, and I've quit twice. And yet I'm still here.
So what, yes. Do you make your own discs, or do you have to...
We do. There's a very interesting man who lives down in Chichester called Lester Jones, who has a company called Renaissance Discs, and he restores the machines. What you can see here is only part of the machine that we own. Normally they come in a really beautiful mahogany or walnut case with a glass front and these nice kind of cornices on the top. It would have been operated by an old penny. When we bought the machine, he said, oh, you'll need these, and he gave us a bag of old pennies to actually make it play. So we stripped it down, took out the clockwork mechanism, and just put our own stepper motor in so we can stop and start the discs and play whichever bits we want, because it's all synced to a little computer as well, which is another whole story. I won't go there.
Is that a Victorian computer?
Yeah, so a clockwork Arduino computer with a little top hat on.
Do you want to give us a demonstration of the sound that this thing can make?
I can. I was going, it's not very funny, this bit, is it, really?
Oh, sorry. This is the educational segment.
You've gone all serious. Right, okay, can I have just a minute to get ready? Because it's a bit like a NASA launch. I have to sort of...
Of course you do. We're going to do another game of Kaplunk while we're waiting. I mean, what a great segue. Right, so who's going to go next? It's... well, Luke can't do it. So why don't you pull on behalf of Luke? Shall I pull on behalf of Luke?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry about this, Luke, if it all goes wrong. So I'm going to put this microphone on the table so I can use 2 hands. Are that against the rules?
Yes, 1 hand only, I think.
Really? Have you all been doing it 1 hand?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm pulling the straw now.
It's a blue straw, tenderly.
Luke, I've done you proud, my friend. I have done you proud, and no marbles have fallen. It's now time for...
Cohen.
Still Phil and Hannah.
A yellow straw with success.
No, is the microphone on the table for any marbles that fall, Michael?
I'm ready to run you then.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, it's now time for Phil and Hannah.
Yeah, 2 marbles.
2 marbles have gone, which increases their defeat so far, increases their loss to 3 marbles now, is that right? Because they just lost
that's
two.
Correct.
1 plus 2 is 3. Excellent. I should also be on the paramaths team as well, because I'm blind. So, okay. So, now finally, representing the young'uns is Sean Cooney this time.
The other one.
Success. Oh, with ease. And look at that, and he just pulled the stick out. No, not just complete abandon.
You've got to get these podcasts moving.
Well, exactly. So there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil and Hannah still in the lose, whatever the thing would be. But we'll see what happens a little bit later on. Meanwhile, still to come, we've got Luke Daniels playing a herbal tea, teabagging, flinging thing. Can he beat the winner, who is currently Cohen? Cohen is the winner. Can he beat Cohen? And also my quiz as well, ladies and gentlemen, which I will introduce you to, and maybe even the youngest ever podcast guest yet. Luke Daniels, are you ready with your polyphone?
Yes.
He's ready. So let's see, what are you going to do for us,
Luke.
Okay, so you're winding it, is that right? Ooh, it's winding yourself.
Thank you.
round of applause.
There we go.
My goodness.
So, halfway through that, you sort of changed a disc there, didn't you, Luke,
yeah,
I think?
I always describe it as, you know that bit from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom when he's got a bag of sand and a golden monkey's head and he has to, like, switch the two over? Do you know the bit I mean? It's a bit like that, isn't it?
That was wonderful. So that's what that sort of sound was. Because at first I thought Phil was doing some beatboxing again. He's quite adventurous here. Okay, how are we doing for time?
Yeah, running out of time. Right?
Really? We've got absolutely loads to do, so we better crack on. It's time for a little game. So there is a little game that I've devised. So we've got teams. I think the teams maybe should be you two, since Sean and Michael. We've got Phil and Hannah, and we've got Luke and Cohen as a team. So there's three teams there. And this is a little game. It's two games. It's called, one of the games is called Song Charades, and the other game is called the Lyrical Workers Challenge. So the first thing, Song Charades, basically, I am going to act out the name of a song. I'm going to act out a song. You have to tell me what the song is. So we're going to do this on buzzers. Shout out your...
Can you do a snare?
Ah, yes. Okay, so this is what we want. Maybe you could do, when you think you know the answer, Phil and Hannah, if you could sound the harmonica. Could you do that? Wonderful. If you think you know the answer, Sean and Michael, could you do a snare maybe? Wonderful. And bless if you, you think you know the answer, Luke and Cohen, could you do a bass? Okay, so here we go. I'm going to act out a song for you right now. Here we go. Tick, tock. Okay, so let's see, some sedimentary here. Tick, tock, tick, tock. And we'll have a little bit of igneous over here. Tick, tock, tick. And a liberal dose. Oh, yes. Who's that basing that?
It's Phil.
Phil. No, it wasn't. It was Luke and Cohen. Luke and Cohen, what do you think?
Rock Around the Clock.
It's Rock Around the Clock. A little bit of igneous, a little bit of... And a liberal dose of Metamorphic, of course. And Circling the Clock. Okay, it's 1-0 to Luke and Cohen. Let's try this. So this is, I got an email recently telling me that in terms of when I used to do a blog, I got told that it's difficult to produce content on a regular basis. They'd obviously read my blogs. And they said, so what we can do is we can help you out. You can just steal some information from another website, put it into this thing called an article spinner, and then press the spin button. And what it'll do is it'll just change all of the words around, like through a thesaurus. So it'll essentially be an article, but rewritten. So the content will be exactly the same, but the wording will be different. So I decided, why don't we do that with lyrics? So I put the lyrics of a song into the article spinner, and it will be changing the words. And you have to see if you can work out what the original song was. Okay, here we go. I sense it in my digits. I sense it in my appendages. You can't do it. You, oh, it was the harmonica first.
Love is all around.
Love is all around me. I sense it in my digits. I sense it in my appendages. The affection that is surrounding me, thus the inclination develops. It's composed upon the breeze, it's wherever I go. So on the off chance that you truly cherish me, just go ahead and let it appear. So there you go, so that's that one. It's now 1-1-0, so we still have the young'uns yet to score. We're back to song charades again. I'm going to act out the name of a song. Here we go. Hello, 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 let's be having you.
Is it Laughing Policeman?
Oh, Michael!
Is it Laughing Policeman?
Yes, it was. I mean, the bass came in first, but we're gonna keep it interesting. It's 1-1-1. Okay, we're back to the Lyrical Workers now, spinning a song. Here we go. Recently, every one of my inconveniences appeared to be so distant from here. Presently, oh!
Yesterday.
It is yesterday. Well done. My favourite bit for this is, gracious, the day before came all of a sudden. Instead of, I believe in yesterday. So, okay, yesterday came suddenly. Okay, we move on to the next one. So that means now that Phil and Hannah take the lead. It's 2-1-1. Here we go. We're going to act out another song for you now. Heel toe, heel toe. Rah! Heel toe, heel toe. Woo! It's the snare, which is the young'uns.
Walking on Broken Glass.
No, no, not walking on broken glass. From a previous podcast, that one, but no, it's not that one. Heel toe, heel toe. Heel toe, heel toe.
I think we might have to turn it over to the
audience. Might have to turn it over to the audience. Any ideas from the audience? Not murder on the dance floor. No, what's heel toe, heel toe? No, so heel toe, heel toe. What are they doing?
Marching.
Walking, and then there was some growling, some animal sounds. Yes, I've heard someone over there. Take a walk on the wild side. It's 1-0 to the audience. It's 2-1 to the audience. Get a point. Okay, we continue. This is we put the songs into the spinner again. She says, we must clutch on to what we have. It's inconsequential if we get there or not. We've got one another, and that's a considerable measure for affection. Oh, go, it's the bass. It's the bass.
Living on a prayer.
It's living on a prayer. They extend their lead by 2 points. It's 3-1-1. No, 3-2-1, I believe, is it? No, 3-1-1. 3-1-1. 3-2-2.
2-2-1.
2-2-1. 1-2-1-2. It's a bit too late for that. Okay, here we go. We're back to me acting out something again. Hello, sir. Come on in, my friend. Oh, thank you. May I use your facilities? Yes, of course. Oh, what a toilet. Or should I say, water lavatory? Or should I say, water closet? Or should I say, it's the harmonica!
Waterloo.
It's Waterloo! What are we on now then, points-wise?
We've got three.
Three, two, one. Okay, I think it's safe to say that the winner of that was Phil and Hannah. No, no, we shouldn't. We've still got... It's all right, my girl. All right. Okay, so we need to finish off the kaplunk. Have we had anyone with a tea bag?
Yes.
Okay, we need to see if Luke can beat that. But, Luke, before you do that and sidle up to the tea bag hurtling earlier, can we please get you to pull out a straw? Luke is pulling out a straw now. Still no marbles, my goodness. So Luke is not the loser. We've established that. Back to Cohen.
Oh, one hand behind the back.
One hand, still no one. I think unless something dreadful happens here, it's going to be Phil and Hannah losing. Phil and Hannah, can they do one without the marbles falling? No.
Oh, they've all fallen either.
They've all fallen. I think it's safe to say, ladies and gentlemen, that Phil and Hannah have lost that one, but they won the other game. So well done to Phil and Hannah there. Let's see if Luke can beat Cohen. Cohen is currently in the lead. Let's see if Luke can beat Cohen in the teabag hurdling. So if you come
where's
the teabag, please?
Chloe.
Okay.
Where's my teabag, the battle cry?
Exactly.
Oh, he has a choice of two. He says he's been learning to play the asalato. He's had good practice.
Okay.
He swings it with his hand as a warm-up. He puts it in his mouth.
Here we go.
He's got a bit of a thick beard there, Dave. I don't know.
Oh, will that help or hinder, I wonder? Yeah. Interesting. This is the first time we've done this, so we've not been able to compile stats yet.
Right, here we go.
Will do.
The first four rows are currently putting on cagoules. And here we go. Oh, it's like a monkey posture. He's already dribbling all over you, David.
Oh, it's all over me.
Oh, not quite.
Not quite. Ladies and gentlemen.
As far as that man's head.
The winner is Cohen. Okay, we got one final song that we could all do together. We could just sort of improvise something. But before that, I'm wondering, Mr. Kearney, could we introduce the youngest guest, podcast guest, do you think?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Shall we? We're just going to get a little someone, ladies and gentlemen, because we have our youngest podcast guest. We have a new member of the young'uns, ladies and gentlemen. No, unfortunately, Michael is not being replaced. This is a new member of the young'uns. And Sean's going to, I think, bring him up right now. So we'll see how this goes.
Here he comes.
Oh, here he is.
Welcome, baby Patrick.
This is baby Patrick Cooney, ladies and gentlemen. Should we just give him a little tiny round of applause? Here he is. Now we've got one teabag left, Patrick.
Well, at least there's one young'un in the group. Yeah.
So this is wonderful. I mean, in some ways, the polyform would have been perfect, wouldn't it? Because that would have been very soothing for Patrick. But let's see if we can have Patrick maybe making his first noise on the podcast. Is there any way that you can get a child to make a noise? Can you just
prod him or anything, Mr. Goody?
Dip him in water and try and chuck him, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, and so everyone can see you there. He's a bit sleepy, that's all right. We don't need to, we don't, quite frankly, Patrick, you've been a bit of a disappointment, I have to say. Yeah. We'll get this for my kid. Well, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Should we just give her a little... We just thought we'd introduce you, because he's part of the family now. We will be raffling him off a little bit later, because he is an inconvenience. He's really getting in the way of touring. But anyway, there we go. So a little applause for Patrick there. And we'll... It's been... I hope you've all enjoyed it, ladies and gentlemen. We never know what's going to happen on these things. I mean, that's not even Sean's child. We just stole that. We thought it'd be a cute little thing. Thought we'd sell us a few more CDs. Anyway, we're going to say goodbye with something. Has anyone got any ideas on what we could... Is there a microphone over the way the keyboard is?
Oh, there is, actually, yeah.
OK, well, you take that then. So do you want to introduce this and we're going to say goodbye? Is that all right, as well at some point, so we want you all joining in with that at some point, and we shall say goodbye with this. I don't know if the polyphone could in any way play a part, Luke, but feel free if it can.
suppose we might as well applaud Sean Cooney and Michael Hughes as well. A big cheer for Argos! Big finish. Thank you.
Thank you very much to our guests and to everybody who attended the live podcast. We've still got, at some point, the Young'uns in the Mix, which we recorded at Folk East Festival, and also bits of it from Southwell or Southwell Festival in Nottinghamshire. That'll be coming up in the next few months, and we will be back next week with another podcast. But until then, thank you very much for listening. From me, David Eagle, and the Young'uns, goodbye.